What goes around comes around. The early days of cars featured a number of electric models before consumers and manufacturers settled on a long-range gasoline engine as the standard. Now electric cars are back, along with hybrids that hold both electric and gas engines. Today's guests are big proponents. Pete Jorgensen, for one, drives a car that sounds more like a washing machine than the gas engine car that it once was. He's one of the brains behind the first ever Southern Oregon electric and hybrid vehicle show, coming to ScienceWorks Hands-On Museum in Ashland this Saturday. Pete Jorgensen, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Jeff.
Good to have you here. And of course, it makes sense to have the executive director of ScienceWorks Hands-On Museum with us as well, Chip Lindsay, back in the studio. Hi, Chip.
Hey, Jeff. It's great to be here.
And we also welcome Patrick Box, who is a builder of electric cars and an electric car infrastructure. Patrick, good to have you here.
Hi, Jeff. Nice to be here.
Pete, let's start with you. Your car is a bit of an eye-catcher. It's one of those old Metropolitans, kind of the upside-down bathtub car of the, was it 1950?
1958, yes. That car had a four-cylinder motor in it in the early days, and now it has a three-phase AC motor and 32 lithium-ion batteries. It's a lot quieter, and it's really fun.
The reason I'm aware of Pete's car is because Pete is also a volunteer during pledge drives at JPR, and I've heard him drive away in the car, and it says ELC. What's the license plate?
ELC PWR, electric power.
Electric power. And it really does sound like a washing machine hitting the spin cycle when you accelerate away from the parking lot.
Well, most of the noise actually comes from the old transmission and differential. You probably wouldn't hear it at all if those were a little newer.
So it's got the old drivetrain then?
It does. It was simpler to put that in, and butting in, because it's more than 50 years old, it's a little bit noisy.
And so what made you decide to go ahead and buy the car in the first place? Did you think you would use it as a gasoline car, or had you always planned to turn it into an electric car?
No, I had always planned to. I had done another electric car in the 1990s, an MG Midget, which is essentially the same car with a different body on it. But I'd always wanted to do another one, and this one had the right size and weight. Those are issues you look at when you're doing an electric conversion.
It's not a very big car, the Metropolitan.
No, it isn't, but it's a nice two-seater. It's actually bigger than the Electric Smart, which is one of the other cars that'll be at the show, the new one. That's the one that Mercedes sells.
So can we assume that that Patrick helped you with the conversion process?
Well, actually, no. I met Patrick after the fact, but Patrick's a longtime converter, and he's helped other people here in the Valley with conversions.
All right. So, Patrick, let's talk to you a little bit about how did you get into working on electric car conversions?
Oh, I don't know. I've been building electric cars since I was about 12. I got batteries and little electric motors and made a little model electric cars. They didn't have them, in the 50s. That kind of got me started, and I was in the Air Force, and I noticed that the generators they used in the Air Force for airplanes, they used a six-cylinder motor to drive the generator, so that was a shoe-in for an electric car because it's a motor generator, that part of it. Then I always wanted an electric car. The manufacturer said they'd come out with some electric cars in the 90s, and they did, but then the EV one was it was so expensive. I wasn't in my price range, so I just finally gave up and started building them. In 1999, I made my first hybrid pickup. So
out of what? What did you start with?
I had a 91 Toyota pickup, and I put the electric motor to drive the rear wheels. I just took one of the drive shaft sections out and put an electric motor, drove the rear wheels with that, and it got about 35 miles to the gallon. We drove to Washington, D.C. with Dennis Weaver's Drive to Survive, and it actually got 35 miles a gallon. That was we took a petition to the Department of Energy to try to get the CAFE standards up to 35 miles to the gallon, so it was nice to have a pickup that would do that and be on that trip.
So the assemblage of electric cars and stuff we're talking about coming up on Saturday, 10 to 4 at ScienceWorks, the Southern Oregon Electric and Hybrid Vehicle Show. This is a first-time thing. Is that right, Chip Lindsay?
First time for us, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And how did it all come together?
Well, you know, you bump into people.
Right.
I met Pete at a Lions Club meeting, and Pete said, hey, you know, I've got this Nash Metropolitan that's converted out, at which point I got really interested. And we were having a Tinkerfest, and he said, you know, would that be appropriate? heck yeah, you know, come on down. And then Pete introduced us to really a whole community of people that are here in the Rogue Valley that, you know, we're just eaten up with people that are thinking about electric and making electric go fast and high-performance electric. So it really started us thinking about our project with the Smithsonian and the Lemelson Center and thinking, you know, this is a place of invention exactly because of people like Patrick and Pete who are doing really incredible things in their backyards, in their garages, and making it happen.
You made the reference to the Lemelson Center thing. We had John to talk about that not terribly long ago, but this is basically you're in charge of showing what the invention and innovation landscape is like in Southern Oregon.
Yeah, there are many stories in Southern Oregon, and you know, the electric vehicle, high-performance electric vehicle, is one of those stories that really makes sense for us to brag on a little bit. And there are some great stories with Altrex here in the valley with Alternair that's trying to get started with the electric plane, airplane, and then, of course, Brammo.
Brammo makes electric motorcycles at the old Walmart site in Talent. We're talking about electric vehicles. Chip Lindsay is the executive director at ScienceWorks Hands-On Museum, which will host the Southern Oregon Electric and Hybrid Vehicle Show this Saturday, 10 to 4. Pete Jorgensen owns an electric vehicle. Patrick Box owns them and builds them. And you can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 around the region. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Our email is jx@jeffnet.org. Take a gander at our guests, like us on Facebook, and take part in the conversation there as well. Let's see, where to go next? So Pete, this was something that you had come up with Chip?
Well, it's actually something that I'm in the Ashland Lions Club, and one of our other members had seen an article about what another Lions Club did with a car show and said, gee, why don't we do an electric car show? And so I contacted Chip, and he said, yeah, wow, that sounds great. Let's do that. And so we set out. This is actually, it's a Lions Club fundraiser. We attracted sponsors who are putting up some of the money to help us put this event on and bringing their vehicles to show. And actually, the show is free to the public, though. We're just asking that people bring a non-perishable donation for the Ashland Food Bank. And but we're going to have, there's going to be 10 new cars there from local area dealers. Brammo, of course, is going to bring a couple of their motorcycles. And we have two electric bicycle sponsors. There will be four or more bicycles there as well.
Electric bicycle sounds like cheating. I've watched people go up hills with those.
I was going to say, you try riding the hills. It's really it's a nice way to cheat.
Yes, having ridden the bicycle to work a few times, I can attest to the fact the hills are a lot steeper when you're riding a bicycle than when you're in a car. Patrick Box, I want to ask you, because it seems like you've been at this for quite some time now, would you have thought we would have been further down the road? I mean, is it taking a lot longer for the world to embrace electric cars than you would have thought?
Yes, I would like to have seen maybe 10,000 hybrid pickups on the road by now, but there certainly aren't. Ford's had electric trucks and Chevy's had electric trucks, but they're no longer around. I'd like to see them start building them again because people want pickups that are electric or hybrid or whatever, you know.
And so what do you suppose is the holdup? Is it still a lot having to do with the distance, the travel range on a charge, that sort of thing?
Really not an issue at this point. They have charging infrastructure the entire length of I-5, so you can drive from Canada to Mexico with an electric car if you wish to.
The electric highway.
The electric highway, yeah. It's there. It's happening. We have electric charging stations in Ashland and Central Point. You know?
And they are spaced closely enough that you don't have to worry about running into a dead spot between, say, Medford and Roseburg.
Right. Wolf Creek.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Seven Feathers. Yeah.
Wow. All kinds of stuff out there. Yeah. We got a couple of calls waiting here. Let's talk to Roger in Arcata. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking electric cars with Patrick Box, Chip Lindsay, and Pete Jorgensen.
Oh, I barely heard you.
It is you, Roger. Yes.
It is Roger. Yes. Well, just by coincidence, I have your station on, so I had to call in because this sounds like a very parallel universe that we don't know about. I actually have a 1954 electric Morris Minor, and I've been driving electric cars for 15 years, and we've been going at it the same way. So it's just pretty exciting to hear in our isolated worlds that people are doing this. We have an there's one thing I should say to folks, and especially I say here always, is that most people just don't drive far enough to worry about the infrastructure because they drive around home, and we've had for over 10 years a way to get from here to Florence, Oregon, since we go every summer up the Oregon coast to the Oregon Country Fair. So,
all right. So, so tell us about your car, though, the conversion of it.
Well, I just have a similar. I have an older car. I use a DC motor. Back in the day, that was the most affordable thing, and was lead acid batteries. And I just took out a gas motor and attached an electric motor in its place and hooked up batteries. Electric cars are so much simpler than gas cars. Everybody thinks we're some sort of geniuses because we made something that they made in the early 1900s. And, you know, I mean, I assume that my granddaughter is going to have this car long after I'm well done driving and being compost to future soil for the planet. In other words, electric motors, it just is a simpler, more reliable thing. And, you know, then we hear things like, you know, instead of cash for clunkers, we didn't have cash for conversions. And I always have people tell me they're not going to get one until they can drive to Connecticut to visit their cousin. When I ask them, of course, they say that they would only fly to Connecticut. And when I go up the Oregon coast, yeah, every year, you appreciate it. When I'm in Brookings, everybody goes, you got to be crazy. How could you stop in every town? Of course, by the time I get to Florence, I've seen the same people in every town because there'll be no reason to go up the Oregon coast.
Right.
If you aren't stopping.
All right. Thanks for the call, Roger. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you all keep it up. I should leave my number so that we can keep in touch with these folks because we have shows and stuff, too.
Let me put you on hold, and then Charlotte can pick up the number and hand it off to Pete.
And I hope to hear from you all. And keep it up.
All right. Thanks, Roger. Take it easy. Pete, you want to jump in there?
I was just going to say, Roger, bring your car to the show. We would love to have you here this next Saturday. We're going to have a few of us who have done conversions. The bulk of the cars that will be at the show are actually new cars, and we do have some folks who have purchased commercially made cars, and they'll be bringing theirs to talk about their experiences.
You know, he brought up an interesting point, which is people talking about this technology as if it were something really new. It's really useful to remember that trolley cars were all over the country when the automobile was young. And in fact, the reason that there aren't so many trolley cars anymore is because there are so many cars. Trolley cars use basically the same electric idea, don't they?
Well, very much so, yeah. Interestingly, talking about age, I happened to see an article on the internet yesterday about a 1914, and I want to think the name was Flitcher or something like that, a car that's in the museum in Boulder, Colorado, developed by a man in Colorado, had a range of 100 miles.
Mm-hmm. All right.
We're, 1914.
We're talking about electric vehicles here on the Jefferson Exchange. A couple of days before the Southern Oregon Electric and Hybrid Vehicle Show at ScienceWorks Hands-On Museum, Saturday 10 to 4 in Ashland. Join us on the exchange, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Come visit us on Facebook as well. See the faces of our guests. We put them on, well, it's not film anymore. Boy, things change fast. We're talking electric cars and filmless cameras, but you can join us on the exchange. And here's Steve and Eugene. Welcome to the exchange.
Howdy. I've heard that the Japanese are in the process of developing an electric battery that has 7 times the energy density as a lithium ion. And I was wondering if you guys had heard anything about that and have any ideas to when it's coming online.
Patrick, is it something that you've heard about? No, I see both shaking your heads over there.
You know, you're always hearing about new research, and obviously we would encourage it. You know, the lithium was such a big step up from the lead acid, but I'm not familiar with this particular.
Zinc air is one that's trying to make a very high powered battery. That's the only one I've heard of. And then there's a capacitor. Supercapacitor that someone's trying to build.
So you're storing the juice in a capacitor instead
yeah,
of
right.
in a battery.
It's like a flux capacitor. It takes 5,000 volts to charge it up.
But a capacitor is a very fast discharge, isn't it? I mean, it kind of poof and the juice is out.
Depends on how many capacitors you put behind it.
Oh, so if you hook them up in a sequence, you can get a slower discharge and therefore use it up like a battery. So let's talk about the battery technology then, because, Pete, you're talking about lead acid versus lithium, and you had a decision to make when you made the conversion on the Metropolitan, didn't you?
Yes. The lead acid, of course, as Roger mentioned a moment ago, that was the technology of the times a few years ago. Lead acid, when I did my MG Midget, I had 8 12-volt batteries in there that weighed 800 pounds. I have now 32 lithium-ion batteries that weigh about 375 pounds, and they have roughly 3 times the power that the lead acid did. And so there's the decision process. discounting cost, of course. Lithium is quite a bit more expensive.
Because it is the newer technology?
Yes, and it's a lot cleaner, too. I mean, when you're dealing with lead-acid batteries, you do have to worry about sulfuric acid spills and things like that. And so the lithium is so clean, and it just works so much better.
How long ago did you make the conversion on the Metropolitan?
It's been done for about 2.5 years. I've been driving it here in Ashland and around the valley for about 2.5 years. The actual conversion part, you know, the old Metropolitan, you ask how I got it. It was kind of a basket case when I got it. And so it took about 1.5 years to get the car into shape and then about 4 months to put together the electric conversion.
And you had a local body place on the Rogue Valley?
Take The body shop down on A Street there, South Oregon. I think I'm blanking.
South Stage?
South. South Valley.
Okay.
South Valley Auto Body. Okay. Did a wonderful job.
So how much has the technology changed just since you made the conversion? I mean, is there a lot newer stuff now that you could have made the conversion with, or is it fairly steady now?
It's reasonably steady, and I have to be honest, I don't stay up 100% on all the newest stuff. People are always coming up with new ideas, and there are a lot of things that I did not incorporate. Patrick mentioned the capacitors. I've seen at least diagrams of people who build a bank of capacitors that parallel their batteries to give them an extra boost when they want to, you know, pass or go up a hill or something like that. I'm not enough of an electronics person to really get there, though, so I haven't gone there yet.
All right, let's hear from electric car stories from our audience as well. Join us on the exchange as we're talking to Pete Jorgensen, Patrick Box, and Chip Lindsay, 800-838-3760 or 541-552-6782 or jx@jeffnet.org. What makes the decision, then, about whether to go with a DC motor or an AC motor? What are some of the pluses and minuses, Patrick Box?
A DC motor, you can't have regeneration. So driving, say, from here to Portland with a hybrid, I go up hills and I use the DC motor to get up the hill, but I have no way of charging the battery when I go down the hill. So the AC motor allows that, so I can get clear to Portland and still have a lot of power. I mean, I can turn around and drive back just from the regeneration.
So the motor turns into a generator going down the hills?
Yes. As soon as I step on the brake pedal, the motor becomes a generator.
And that's
it's that easy.
And that's only the AC motor.
Right, that's the AC motor.
Huh, wow. That's pretty fancy stuff. Now, is this also available in current mass market cars out there? I mean, like, did the Prius have this?
Oh, yeah, all the electric cars that are on the market are AC, I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Is it a little more expensive? I think with locomotives, it's certainly more expensive to go for AC traction motors.
Yeah, it's a little more expensive, but it's down with DC motors at this point. It's under $5,000. You can get an AC system.
Chip Lindsay at ScienceWorks Hands-On Museum. For this event, we already mentioned it's a free event, but will you charge for parking if people show up in gas-powered cars?
Good idea.
I hadn't thought of that. Brilliant! the car show will be out in our front lawn. We've got a lot of lawn, so bring your car. Mm-hmm. The museum will be regular admission that day, though. So,
okay, the museum.
Don't want to disappoint you if you think you're not.
Okay, I understood. We have a caller who wants to know if her 79 GMC 3/4-ton pickup truck could be converted. And if so, where, Patrick Box?
Absolutely. I'll help you.
How do people get, do you have a shingle hung out somewhere, a garage you work?
No, I really don't at this point. If I got 10 people, though, I'd open a garage and start conversions.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, what do you, I mean, this is not your day job, evidently.
No, I'm sort of retired, but I work for Shore Power, which does electric car charging infrastructure and truck stop electrification and things like that.
And has Shore Power been very busy over the last couple of years?
Yeah, we've been busy. We just moved the operation, so we're kind of in a storage building mode, but we're going to start production again soon of electric car charging stuff again.
Mm-hmm. All right, but is there any vehicle that really just would be too heavy to make a conversion to electric on?
No. If it's too heavy, you just get a bigger motor. You can get larger motors, uh-huh. More batteries, larger motors.
Mm-hmm. Pete Jorgensen, as the guy who's a little newer on electric cars here, and you mentioned not being terribly up in the electronics, just from a consumer standpoint of operating, your Metropolitan. I mean, where do you confine it? Do you ever take it to Medford, or is it just an around-town car?
Oh, yeah, I drive to Medford. I have a range of between 50 and 60 miles, you know, kind of depending on how many hills I go over. But going to Medford is nothing for me. And I charge it at home, but I can use the charging stations that Patrick mentioned. I have an adapter for that. At home, with a 220 volts, I can recharge it in about 3.5 hours. And so it's but just from an operation standpoint, about the only thing, like with my old Metropolitan, you have to remember, if you stop, you have to set the brake, because there's nothing going to hold it. There's no engine compression.
Right. No back pressure there.
Yeah, right.
Ah, okay. So
that's the only hard part about driving it.
Now, what about acceleration? I've heard there's enough torque that, you kind of get thrown back into the seat if you hit the controller too hard.
Well, the DC motors have more instantaneous torque at a stop. The AC motor, after you get up about 5 miles an hour or so, the torque picks up really. You know, if you step on it at that point, you feel it more. The DC motor is the one that will really put you back in the seat.
Okay. Boyd and Wolf Creek dropped off a question. He says, Wolf Creek has an EV fill-up station. How much of the station is being used, and what does it cost to get your fill-up? Your electric fill-up?
I don't know how much it's being used. I don't really monitor that. I believe it's $6 to fill your car up.
Mm-hmm. $6, and it takes about how long with the fast charges?
20 minutes to 45 minutes, depends.
Right, so you can have a little stroll around Wolf Creek or wherever you happen to be.
Yeah, I have lunch there.
Uh-huh. All right, so the electric Southern Oregon Electric and Hybrid Vehicle Show will be on the lawn at the ScienceWorks Hands-On Museum in Ashland, Saturday, 10 to 4. All kinds of cars out there, including the Metropolitan, will be there, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay, and Patrick, what are you going to bring out there?
I'm going to bring a 03 Nissan Frontier that's a hybrid. Incidentally, talking about hybrids, they make hybrid trains. Chrysler, Daimler, and Walmart are making a hybrid freight truck. So big stuff works too.
All right, big stuff on the way. Pete Jorgensen, Patrick Box, and Chip Lindsay from ScienceWorks, thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Great to be here.
Thanks for having us.
You bet. Short break on the Exchange, and then we'll come back and hear the Writer's Almanac. Please stay tuned.